Chairman Alexander.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The Resource Steering Committee met on January 17th. Under tab 8, you will find 5 documents. One of those is a summary of that meeting. The second is a memo summarizing the priority setting processes of other regional councils. The third document is the council's resource priorities and data needs for 2017 through 21, which the council developed last year. There's the presentation that Rachel's going to give in a moment, and there is a letter from the executive director of the New England Council to the NIFS director of scientific programs seeking to understand how NIFS uses the 5-year regional council priority documents that we worked on last year. At the meeting, there were 3 main topics of discussion. The first was improvements to the process for developing council research priorities and data needs. There's an update on the Northeast Cooperative Research Program, and we also discussed a review of several research projects funded through the Research Set Aside programs. In Rachel's presentation, there are 4 committee consensus statements that will be presented to the council, and I'll be revisiting the statement related to research priorities at the end of the presentation. So I'll hand it over to Rachel.
Okay, thanks. You stole my thunder for the first slide, but there's the overview of what happened at the committee meeting. I'm also going to briefly talk about 2 other business items that came up, issues that were raised at the Habitat Committee that the research steering briefly talked about. One is a BOEM call for proposals and a potential new research priority related to raised ground gear that I understand Terry Alexander is going to have a motion after Mark Alexander's motion out of the committee. So just to give a brief overview of this council research priority setting process, reminder that we have a Magnuson-Stevens mandate to every 5 years develop a list of research needs and submit that to the Secretary of Commerce and the Regional Science Center for their use in developing research priorities and budgets for the region. So that's just up there as a reminder of the task for all that all councils have been undergoing. Also, by way of reminder, I spoke to you briefly about this in September, but at the March and July Research Steering Committee meetings, we had some discussion. In March, we were reviewing the draft 17 to 21 priorities that you later approved in April, and in that discussion, there was a wish for more internal prioritization within the document to identify which were the most important or most pressing needs, as well as more description for the priorities and rationale to help better communicate to funders and researchers the issues that needed to be addressed. I was then tasked in July to look into further to learn about how other councils are developing research priorities, both their process as well as their product, to see what could be learned, any lessons for improving our process. So in January, our committee considered that input as well as input from our staff and made some recommendations that you'll hear about in a moment. So just briefly on my inquiry of other councils and learning from that, the councils vary greatly in the amount of effort that's dedicated to creating and updating these 5-year lists. Most of the councils are creating kind of Word document lists on the order of 9 pages up to 82 pages of documentation with a great deal of detail in those longer documents. Most of them do have some sort of internal prioritization within broad topic areas, which our document is organized by topic area, but within that we don't have any high priority needs identified. And most councils are updating those lists every 5 years. The North Pacific has taken a different approach. I think they started with that Word document approach, but a few years back morphed towards a spreadsheet and a web-accessible and queryable database. They go through a process annually to update and submit that, the spreadsheet format at least, to the Secretary of Commerce, and it's kind of a running list of 5 years in advance, but that's updated annually. Through this process, you know, I heard concerns from staff of multiple councils that there's really been very little feedback from the service regarding the use of these research priority lists and next steps for the priorities, and really wishing for better information to help determine the degree of effort that should be devoted towards creating and updating these lists. This is just the example of the North Pacific example. The spreadsheet, just a little screenshot of the top. I'm sorry it's came out so small on the screen, but basically it lists the title of the topic, a paragraph of description, a ranking of priority, meaning a critical near-term issue, ongoing long-term monitoring, and then a status of the topic in terms of either if there's been no action or if it's partially completed or underway or if the project's completed. And then the bottom rectangle there is a screenshot of the database, which is the same information but more fields of information, and you can query it by the specific plan that it relates to, council actions, ecosystem areas, ranking of priority, all the different ways that you can query a database. You can do that to for you know the various needs that the public has. Then in December, I asked our staff for some input, and we discussed how you know we currently have several processes that we have that create lists of needs, not only this five-year list, but we have needs that get identified through assessment processes, needs that the council votes on for RSA priorities, and then within each, at least EIS, if not EA, there's a section that identifies research needs that would help better address or you know develop a future action related to whatever action the EIS is about. If we had some sort of regularly updated master list that that may help track needs better and reduce duplication, and perhaps these other lists could be subsets of that master list. Certainly including a rationale would improve communication, and it would really help keep the list focused on research questions. We did note that our operations handbook currently states that our research steering committee, one of its purposes is to annually identify and prioritize research needs. This has not been happening for some time, as far as I understand. So suggestion here is to align our handbook with reality or have reality aligned to our handbook. But either way, there should be some reconciliation there. We should have more concerted efforts to seek feedback on the end use of these lists. And Mark noted that Tom did send a letter in early January to NIMS headquarters. We haven't heard a response from that yet. And also, you know, how these needs are being met. We could continue to submit formally every 5 years, but if we had something that was like a living spreadsheet or database, that could certainly add topics to the lists as they come up in more real time, so ideas don't get lost. So the committee discussed all this input and developed this consensus statement. I won't read it verbatim. We have a council motion that's going to be a kind of a consolidated version of this, but they did support in terms of process, felt like the PDTs would probably be best knowledgeable about kind of leading the way in developing and keeping the list updated. The research steering committee continue to review and be a step in that process along with the SSC. And the research steering committee could help in tracking if and how needs are being met. They did prefer a spreadsheet format over a Word document, but there was a lot of support for exploring the idea of having a searchable database. And they did like the idea of having different, more descriptions, priority codes, identification of the categories that it, all the topics that it might address, the research status, et cetera. In terms of coding, they did not support codes such as low, medium, high. If it's a low priority, then it's not really a priority. But something that was more descriptive, like this is a long-term goal or a near-term or urgent need, would be more helpful. They wanted to keep the list focused on the council's needs, and they did want to see, once a project is completed, that the need not be removed, but it just be noted that this was something that the council saw that was accomplished, and maybe the database sheet could list or note where you could go to find information about that completed work. this is a recommendation under outreach, this last one, about more concerted effort for national outreach to national research funding programs, and a suggestion made that those programs should require proposals to indicate not only how it was meeting that national priority, but indicate which regional council priority it would also be meeting, and reward proposals that meet local priorities as well, to help give strength or teeth to the local priorities that get developed. So a consolidated version of that will be Mark's council motion that will come up in a few minutes. After that agenda item, we heard some program updates from Dr. Hoey from the Cooperative Research Program at the Science Center. And this is just a brief overview of the four areas that he updated us on. There are efforts underway to better integrate cooperative research across the Science Center. This is one of the topics, issues that came up in last year's program review, a recommendation. They've been creating cross-division working groups to better use resources and strengths, data gaps, identification, and working on improving assessments. He gave two examples in Mackerel and Fluke where there were cross working group teams. They've run a series of speed talks within the staff of the center to enhance collaboration and learning, knowledge sharing amongst the staff. And the cooperative research staff also participated in the recent port outreach meetings regarding the groundfish assessments. He updated us on the trawl survey catchability studies and all the work that's been happening on that topic since 2009 in terms of identifying rockhopper versus chain sweep performance, use of pair vessels, and he gave an update on the Northeast Trawl Advisory Panel, which I think we'll be talking about here tomorrow, so I won't go into that. I'll just leave that for tomorrow. And then on the Cooperative Longline Survey, this year will mark the fifth year of that survey, and he noted areas where it's improving data on species that may not be captured in the bottom trawl survey. They're starting to work that data into assessments. He gave some examples such as cusk and thorny skate. They're doing some ongoing work on the effect of bait plumes in the ocean and that effect on the survey. Finally, on the study fleet, he talked about how the study fleet has software, Flounders, I believe it's called, is being used at the trip and sub-trip levels on quite a number of vessels and use in submitting EVTRs, 120 vessels currently. He noted a couple projects led by GMRI and Cornell on working to make full better use of the data that's being collected, using it as a trip reporting tool for fixed gear, as well as automating the port side data transmission and including more whiting vessels in the program. They're also working with the Observer program to see how study fleet and observer data align to make better use of study fleet information. Then after that, we got into our management reviews. We had three completed projects, all one scallop project and two herring projects, all RSA funded. I have one slide that briefly summarizes the project and one slide with the committee consensus statement. So this first project is a seasonal scallop bycatch survey that's been led by Kuna Messett Farm Foundation, funded since 2011. They're quantifying groundfish bycatch and balancing that with scallop yield. They've done quite a bit of gear research, work on scallop discards, meat quality, biological sampling. They have quite a bit of data that they've collected. They have had some shifting around of survey stations in earlier working mostly in the groundfish closed areas, scallop access areas. Then they've shifted more recently to the north edge of north side of Georgia's Bank. Our committee had reviewed this project at two points in the past, and we were focusing that our scallop PDT had asked us to focus this discussion on using the utility of this data as a time series across the time frame of the project. So the consensus statement that came after the discussion is that this survey and its data should continue to be used in management. If the project continues, it would be valuable to maintain principles of a time series to make sure that the data are compatible year to year, and reiterated support for scallop bycatch work as an important high priority for research. Moving on to the river herring bycatch avoidance project, this has been led by SMAST and DMF, funded with herring RSA in 2014, though they've cobbled together funding from a variety of sources. They're improving river herring catch estimates, reducing bycatch through development of an industry communication network, and they've done work to test net sensors to link environmental conditions to bycatch events. The herring PDT and NIMS have used the data in, for example, in setting bycatch caps and exploring catch monitoring. And the herring PDT was interested in seeing if we had any input on potential other uses of the information. So again, the committee was supportive of this project and it should continue to be used in management. It's produced high quality work. It has been demonstrated to reduce bycatch. All the work and its publications would be very helpful for developing the white paper that our council is going to be working on this year and considering river herring and shad as stocks in the Atlantic herring fishery. Lastly, we have the effects of fishing on herring aggregations. This was a partnership of GMRI, the Science Center, and University of New Hampshire, funded quite a number of years ago through the herring RSA in 2008. It did run into some budget issues, and not all of the budget could be funded. It had to have some curtailment of its goals. But it originally was aiming to define localized depletion of herring and the development of hydroacoustic techniques, estimating stock sizes and localized depletion. It ended up being scaled back to more of a methods development project on using acoustic methods to study the impact of fishing on aggregations. Although the project was completed some time ago, localized depletion questions have remained on the council's burner as an issue of concern, namely Amendment 8. And we just identified it as a continuing priority for the 18 to 20 herring RSA. So we were interested in having some discussion on if the methods developed in this project could help inform future research that may be funded through the RSA call for proposals or other sources. The RSC commented that due to low sample size, the specific results of this project could not be directly used in management. However, there have been quite a few valuable lessons learned from this study, not only with the methods, but with the RSA funding process. Acoustic tools could be important for future studies of vessel effects and localized depletion, and used in conjunction with catch data to discriminate herring species. Then I don't have a slide for the other business items, but there were two. One was an interest in a new research priority related to raised ground cables and reduced sweeps, potentially reducing swept area. This is stemming from the disapproval of the Cox's Ledge habitat management area that would have prohibited ground trawl cables and clam dredges. It was disapproved due to concerns about limited research in this area regarding the gear efficiency and the potential to increase effort to compensate for that inefficiency. I think we have a motion today about that topic. And then finally, we had just a brief discussion. BOEM annually has a call for research proposals relating to their energy development work. The call for proposals this year closes in February, but we put it on the radar as a potential future topic for our committee to talk about if and how some of our research priorities could potentially be met through that call for proposals, and how we may help encourage projects getting funding through that opportunity. That's it.
Thank you very much, Dr. Feeney. Questions from the council on the presentation? I know we have at least one motion. Many questions? Mr. Neese.
Rachel, I'm just curious, during the discussion of the study fleet program, was there any more information about increasing access to study fleet data, for example, the council staff or other people, or was that not discussed?
That topic did not come up.
Anybody else from the council? Seeing none, out to the audience. Comments on the presentation? Seeing none, back to the council, back to Chairman Alexander.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. the committee's consensus recommendation in regard to the research priorities, it articulates its vision on how the research process should be retooled, but it doesn't really develop a specific motion on how we should proceed. So to remedy that, I'm going to offer the following motion for council consideration. It almost fits. And I'll read that into the record.
Please.
Move that for improving council research priority setting under process, the PDTs will continue to have a lead in developing and updating research needs with RSC and SSC review prior to council approval. The RSC would also help track if and how research needs are being met. With regard to product, feasibility of developing a database should be explored, but a spreadsheet should be developed as a first step. Information should include a description and rationale, a product category, for example, near term, FMP and species, four species, broad category, other priority lists it may be included on, for example, assessments or RSA, in research status, for example, no action or underway. Under feedback, the Council Coordination Committee should be asked to send a letter to NIMS requesting that its national research funding programs require proposals to indicate if and how the work would meet an identified regional council priority in addition to national priorities of the program. This is not a committee motion, so I would need a second. Just a few words about it.
Seconded by Mr. Bellavance.
Okay. I'm sorry?
Mr. Bellavance seconded it, so all set.
Oh, thank you. So essentially, the Research Steering Committee would be the custodian of this research priority needs document, with modifications resulting from the PDTs and the SSC. Input from the PDTs and the SSC as new research needs are identified. The RSC would monitor the status of research conducted and make adjustments to each priority status within that list. One thing I noticed, you know, for example, under tab 12, there's a letter from the SSC to the executive director related to the OFL and ABCs for Atlantic Halibut, and that letter identifies two research priorities, one related to stock structure distribution, the other related to discard mortality. Recommendations such as these, you know, could be added to the spreadsheet on an ongoing basis, making it a living document as we go along. You know, with the rationale and other elements that are in the spreadsheet being developed with input from the PDTs. So switching to a spreadsheet format would require a little bit of upfront work by the staff to recast it as a spreadsheet, but I think once that gets done, I think keeping this up to date as a living document will be worth the investment in time. So that's all I have to say.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chairman.
Mr. Chair, I just want to point out that this being Mr. Alexander's last meeting, that he has violated the Pierce rule.
Joan even had to scroll up. It was so big she couldn't keep it on one.
I think there's an exemption if it's your last meeting.
Motion is pending. Out to the audience, any comments on the pending motion? Seeing none, back to the council. Seeing none, we'll call the vote. All in favor, signify by raising the hand. All those opposed, all those abstaining, motion passes 16-0 with one abstention. And I believe, Chairman Alexander.
Just to conclude, I want to thank everybody on the Research Steering Committee. That it's inspiring how engaged everybody is and how involved in the discussions things have been. And I especially want to thank Rachel for her hard work and everything she's put into to moving the process along. So thank you.
Mr. Bad Alexander.
So I'm not really sure what the process is, but I'd like to put up a motion for a research priority that we were lacking in OH2.
I think this would be the point.
Should I do that now?
I think that now would be the point to do that, yep.
Joan, you have it? Okay. So the motion to that if the council set as a research priority the impact of raised ground cables compared to conventional ground cables on the seabed. If I can get a second, I'll...
Seconded by Mr. Reed.
So, do you want me to lay out the rationale for it? So during OH2, the Cox's Ledge area was rejected because the PDT couldn't figure out how to quantify the effects of raised ground cables over regular ground cables on the impact on the seabed. So I thought, you know, during the rejection of OH2, that part of it, that would have been a good research project. And the motion we just passed actually said the PDT should set the research priority. So maybe it's better to let Michelle look at this and bring that back to her PDT. And so I'm not sure that this is relevant now. So I don't think it hurts to put it through, but you know, at least that puts the PDT on notice that, you know, we'd like to see some sort of a tool or something that would quantify the effects of either raised ground cables or no ground cables on the seabed. So
I think maybe what we could do is have a sense of the council. If there's no objection, your statement could be put on the record as indicating our preference. We're going to have to go through the whole steps of a motion. See any objection to Mr. Alexander's statement? Seeing none, we'll adopt by consensus his statement and motion pending. All set, Mr. Chairman?
This completes the Research Steering Committee report.
Thank you very much, Chairman Alexander. we have no other matters pending. I'm going to call on Mr. Pentney for some closing comments.
Thank you. Not really closing comments, but just being that this is my first meeting as regional administrator, one of the things that I'd like to do moving forward is to be more available as an agency representative at council meetings. And so one of the things I'd like to start doing today is make myself available after the conclusion of the council meeting. So I plan to stick around for a half hour or so. Anybody in the audience who wants to, or anybody who wants to come up, say hello, or if there's something on your mind that you'd like to chat with, I'll be available for about 30 minutes or so before I head over to Tom's. Thanks.
Great. Thank you very much. That concludes our business for the day. We'll stand in recess till 9 a.m. tomorrow morning. For those in the audience, we have a brief closed session to start. So if you're going to plan on arrival time, I'd make it 9:15 if you're not a member of the council. Okay. Hearing is adjourned.